to the 6 Out Culture Podcast. This time I'm joined by Danny and Richette. Richette's back. Richette, welcome back.
It's great to be back. Guys, I apologize for missing so many episodes. You know, I've been busy with school and work, but glad to be back. And, you know, what better way to be back on a glorious day like today?
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, but I'm sure you all know, Juve top Chelsea, the current European champions, 1-0 of club football. Obviously, we all know international football, who the European champions are. But yeah, for club football, it's Chelsea at the moment, and Italy, Juve topped them 1-0. And an impressive display, classic Allegri, but we'll get into that later on, literally right at the end. That's our last topic. But yeah, Richette's back. We haven't had him for about, I think, 2 months. Today, actually. So 2 months. Richette, congrats on your anniversary. 2 months off here. After Italy won, he needed some time off to, you know, get his brain going back together. And on his Instagram account, his personal, he's been posting about Italy winning every day. So,
boys, don't worry. I'm prepared for Italy beating Spain in the Nations League semifinal, treating it like the Euro final every game Italy play. So I'll be looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, he's raring and ready to go. So. And so are we for this podcast. Obviously, Dan's very happy of Napoli. We're going to get into that very soon. But to start off, Inter-Atalanta, obviously, we'll be recapping match day 6 from last weekend. So we're going to start off there, obviously. Inter-Atalanta, very entertaining game. Lots of drama. Goals being disallowed. Pens, everything you could ask for, really. Pens being missed, may I say. Not just a pen, but a pen being missed. It was very entertaining, the match, as to expect of two teams like that. Lautaro, who's been playing really well this season, Barella has been incredible. Like I said last podcast, he's been assisting more, just getting more involved offensively, more than we're used to, at least. He's always gone up, but he's never really got the numbers, and now he's really getting them, so it's good to see. Dzeko can't stop scoring. I think he has 5 goals in 6 games of 1 assist, so he's been on fire for Inter. And to be honest, I didn't see it coming, but I did at the same time. You know, Dzeko, he's a good player, but at Roma, he didn't get that many chances to score. Obviously, our team's not as strong as Inter's, and Inter's been getting 5-6 chances a game, so he's always been popping in at least 1 or 2, so he's been doing really well. And on the Atalanta side of things, Malinovsky, he's a player I think Dan's talked about a lot, I've talked about a lot, maybe even for Che last season, that he's been a really good player for Atalanta. He's not always the most consistent, but when he's on, he's really on. And yeah, I think I really do rate him highly. I think he's a very good player. Toloi, if you were in our Italy group chat or watch the games of our friend group, we have a certain opinion on Toloi for the Azzurri, but for Atalanta, he's always been solid. So yeah, big ups to Toloi and former Roma player from a long, long time ago. Yeah, this game had it all. Di Marco really could have won this one for Inter, but obviously smashing against the crossbar, what a goal that would have been. But yeah, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think he missed the penalty too.
Yeah.
Yeah, the penalty.
That's what it was. Right off the crossbar, and I thought it was going bar down for a second. I don't know why, just the direction of the ball when he hit it. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. When I asked him to step up to take it, and he smashed against the crossbar, I really could have won it there, and obviously he didn't. I don't agree with him taking it, to be honest. I'm not saying he's not a good penalty taker. I haven't seen him take many, to be honest, but I feel like with all the experienced players you have on a pitch, you'd probably give it to someone more experienced than Di Marco to be taking them. And you know, it's a lot of pressure on a young player like that. But yeah, he missed, and what can you do? Just gonna keep your head up. But yeah, it could have been huge for Inter to get points. They're all 3 over Atalanta. Atalanta put up a great fight, and we're gonna get more into them later on. That's why I'm not trying to get too
Two goals scored a quote-unquote a late winner too, which was disallowed.
Disallowed, yeah.
I believe offside on the build-up, but he's a good player, man. He gets into the right positions. He gets like the ball in the box, and he knows what to do with it when he has it in his feet. He's a good little player, and I feel like he's someone that Atalanta are very happy to keep off the bench, or even maybe starting a few smaller games too.
And I feel like is he born in Bergamo? You can fact-check me,
but
I think he is. I think he's a Bergamo boy. So, and that would have been a second winner of the year already. So, yeah, Piccoli's been looking good. He's always shown potential. But, yeah, Danny touched up on a little bit there on Piccoli. But, Francesco, what did you think about the whole game there?
Yeah, I think this was a great week for City. Yeah, just as a neutral, a lot of games were entertaining, like this one. I'm a little disappointed in the boys from Bergamo. I was really expecting them to kind of not upset Inter, but kind of prove their worth to Inter and really get that win, especially when they took that lead early on. But unfortunately, Atalanta's defense, you know, it's always been their weak point, and Inter's driving force has always been strong. And I'm glad, you know, the two sides tied in the end, and Inter didn't seal that win with that penalty miss. But I feel like Atalanta could have done a lot better during that game to solidify their win. They just were unlucky, and they couldn't just finish their chances, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, well said. You said you summed up the whole game right there, honestly. There's not much else to add to that. But, Dan, any thoughts on the game you got to add left? Or,
yeah,
you know,
it was just very, very entertaining. One of the matches I was very surprised with how entertaining it was. It had everything. You guys wanted goals, missed penalties, offside, goals that were ruled out. We could have had two different winners in the span of like 5 minutes. And it was just a back and forth match. And it was a very entertaining match for a neutral. And I was very happy with the result, actually, because with Inter, I think if they were one, they would have been in first place. So with the tie, they were on par with Napoli, so it was a good result for Napoli fans as well.
Yeah, and I just I keep thinking about that penalty, guys. I kind of felt bad for Di Maggio going away. It would have been a nice pen for him to score, but yeah, as a Roma fan, Napoli, Juve fan, I think a draw is probably the best we could have hoped for. But man, he really hit that well. It would have been a nice moment for him if he scored that, but unfortunately for Inter fans, it didn't go in. But, yeah, I think Inter got to do a better job of picking their pen taker, because I don't know, to leave it up to a kid like that, I wouldn't really call him a kid, but he's still pretty young.
Like,
still
yeah, very a young player like that. I was surprised. I believe Jekyll was on the pitch for it, too, so I was surprised.
Yeah, that guy with pens, who knows with that guy. He might kill a bird or bury it into the bottom corner. So
he would have kicked it back to Rome.
Yeah, he would have kicked it back to Rome, so maybe a gift for us. But, yeah, I was kind of disappointed in Inzaghi's selection of Di Marco, but, you know, it's always a here or there. You know, if he scored, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So, there's always, you know, penalties 50-50. It's either goal or no goal. So, Inzaghi hit it too bad. It was kind of on target, the crossbar, nice strike. But, yeah, Inter draw points there. You can consider draw points because, you know, because of the penalty. Atalanta can too if you look at the disallowed goal, but... Yeah, very entertaining game for neutrals, and yeah, just loved it from beginning to end. Lazio-Roma, another big game, obviously Derby della Capitale. It's a huge game for, you know, people of Rome. If you want to consider Lazio fans from Rome, I wouldn't. They're outside of Rome, but whatever. We have that debate all day. But yeah, when the game started, it's the classic Roma Derby performance. You come out the first 20 minutes sleeping, you go down, and then you dominate the rest of the game and don't have enough time to come back. It's the same thing every year. Nothing really shocked me, to be honest. Milinkovic-Savic scored after, I think it was Philippe Anderson who put a ball in between Mancini and, I don't know, Ibanez wasn't really involved that much in that play. It was more Mancini who was just left out in the dust there, completely unaware of the run that Savic makes almost every game, those forward runs into the box. And, yeah, then Rivatrisio came out, and people were blaming him. I don't blame him at all. Like, he saw that.
Yeah, attack the ball, yeah.
Yeah, to there. I can't blame him, because when your center back doesn't know where the hell the player is, it's the last option, really. So, yeah, he tried to get there. He couldn't. But that's Mancini's fault, all his fault on that goal there. And, yeah, I was disappointed to see that. And when that happened, I really wasn't too bothered. I was like, eh, still lots of time, whatever. Then, obviously, that Zaniolo has the ball in the box there, gets hooked by his side, Danny's favorite player, and gets tackled down. I thought I was watching NFL for a second. And Lazio going to counter. And, of course, I think I said this last podcast, or I mentioned it to at least my Roma group chat. I said Pedro's going to score because Roma players always score against us, well, former Roma players. And that's what happened. Pedro into the bottom corner. And whoever thinks that goal should have stood is a complete idiot. Number one, Zaniolo was fouled in the box, and I know people are saying, oh, it was offside on the foul. Well, when something's offside, you know, you're supposed to blow the whistle, and the play stops, and they continued it, and they scored. So that goal should never have been a thing. referee completely butchered the game after that call. And, yeah, just his explanation made no sense. Al-Sharabi went up to him at the beginning of the second half and said, hey, why didn't you call it a pen? The ref said, oh, it was offside. And it wasn't a foul anyways, which, number one, it was a clear foul. And if you're calling it offside, when something's offside, you blow the whistle. He played it on. And, yeah, they got the second goal. So, yeah, complete blunder from the ref. And second half goes on. And to be honest, well, actually, not what am I saying second half goes on. Ibanez got one back. A beautiful run into the box for the header off a corner. Beautiful header, everything. He's been really good this year, Ibanez. And continues his form. So, yeah, great header from him. We got one back. I was feeling pretty confident. We controlled pretty much the rest of the game. Just on counters, we got burnt. And, yeah, Lazio really ate us on the counter this whole game. Philippe Anderson, Immobile, had a nice play there. He held up the play. Abated, but Patrizio was patient, waited for someone to show for him. Played Anderson, who put it away. And then when he scored, I still didn't really think it was over. I still thought we had a chance to come back in it because we were playing well up to that point. And then Zaniolo just... this guy saw some, I don't know what happened to him, but he just got pissed off and started dominating the game. For those of you who watched, you must have saw, he was running up and down, eating people. He had a fake scissor cut to the right and smashed his weak foot, almost went in. Great save by Pepe Reina. And he won the penalty that Vertu'd obviously buried to make it 3-2. And then we had our chances up until then, like I said, the Pepe Reina save. Some scrambles in the box. We had some chances to tie it up, but it just never happened. And Lazio got away with a win. And obviously, as a Roma fan, it's heartbreaking to lose the derby. Never want to lose the derby. One of the most important games of the year. And, yeah, when it comes to the standings, I really don't care when it comes to the derby. Just got to win the game. The standings really don't matter to me. But we're still on top of Lazio, so top four. It's not the worst place to be, but it's obviously not the best place to be after losing a derby. Sarri topped Mourinho in the first derby. Obviously, in a couple of months, we got a second chance. But yeah, right now, it's just disappointing, and hopefully we can bounce back against Empoli this weekend. Dan, Roger, any thoughts?
You covered up perfectly, and it was a very entertaining match. This is a classical I expected, entertaining and goals, and a little fight almost broke out, but that wasn't too bad. And I agree on the second goal. I personally thought it was a foul on Hughes' side. I even saw the replay. I go, oh, they're going to probably go to VAR, maybe call it back or so. And I personally saw a reckless play on Hughes' side, and I saw it was a foul. I was kind of surprised that they didn't go back to call it. Then Pedro scored a beautiful goal, finished it off nicely. And Pepperlena made huge saves for Lazio. I think he had like maybe two or three chances I can recall. That he stood up big and he made a nice save on Zaniolo. That could have been easily the tying goal. And it was just a very well performed by Pepe Reina, who seems to play good in big games. But then against the smaller teams, he's the Pepe Reina I remember prior to him leaving to Napoli. So it was a very entertaining game. And again, Roma, they're in a good position. They just have to keep the heads up. And one thing I liked about Mourinho at the end of the game, he called all his teammates, and I should say all the players over, and just motivated them. He just was talking to them. So that was one thing I loved to see. The coach not going, like the players not going to the locker room laughing after a loss. I like to see the coach talking to them, coaching them even after the game. So that was a really cool scene to see for Mourinho. Coaching the players after the game, and it was just an entertaining game, and it was a game that Roma fans, obviously disappointed that you guys lost to Lazio, but it's not the end of the world. You guys got another chance in a couple months, and you just have to continue to move on and build off this learning experience.
Yeah, very well said. And I don't know if you want to plug your ears for what I'm about to say, but first of all, I want to say, as a neutral fan, this was the game of the week. It's probably one of the most entertaining Serie A games I've watched this season. Just constant back and forth action, constant goals, constant threats, constant fights. It was just an incredible scene to watch. This was the classic definition for Lazio at Sadi Ball. I feel like we criticize Immobile almost every podcast, But this game, I felt like he played incredible, minus the finishing aspect. He had some chances where he should have buried. But that's just Ciro Immobile for you. Every other aspect of the game, he played incredible. He held the ball up well. He got a couple assists on the score sheet. So I think he had a really good game. But nonetheless, Roma, they fought until the very end. I personally thought they were going to tie the game. I thought they were going to get that one ball in the back of the net. But Pepe Reina, like Danny said, was just unstoppable. He was impeccable. He was making saves that I didn't think was possible from such a little man. It makes me wonder why Juventus still have Wojciech Szczęsny, who struggled to catch a ball. And you see Pepe Reina grabbing everything like it's nothing. So I think he probably was one of the men of the matches for me, even though he conceded two goals. And one thing I really liked was Maurizio Sarri, you know, holding that sacred eagle. I think it was a very special moment for him. He went from holding the Scudetto to holding the eagle. I think both are significant memories in his life now. One thing that disappointed me was Jose Mourinho. I think he didn't show up to the game prepared and ready. He showed up. Would have been nice if he showed up in a suit. This is the biggest game of Roma's career. Like we all know. I've always known Mourinho to be such a professional man. Shows up in a suit, and when the derby comes, he's not wearing the suit, so it was a little concerning for me. And I think that's what caused the result for Roma. But nonetheless, in a couple of months, Mourinho, I'm expecting him to be ready, hungry, and going to take the derby from Lazio.
Well,
do you expect him to show up in a suit in a couple of months?
I do. I think he needs to learn from his mistakes.
Sure. I don't know whether you've seen Mourinho in the suit before the game, but yeah, this guy's never wear suits in like 10 years.
Last time I recall Mourinho in a suit, probably his
Inter years when he was back in Serie A. So
like 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago. So
especially in Rome, I don't think you'll see a manager wearing a suit in Rome. Suit's gonna burn off, but
gotta sacrifice for the team.
Yeah, I guess, but I'm not too sure if the suit made the whole difference of the game, but yeah, we all have our own opinions. But yeah, that wraps up the derby. And next topic is, we're not really going to, discuss Napoli-Cagliari. I think it was pretty straightforward what happened. But a question regarding Napoli is, do you guys think Napoli are early Scudetto favorites? And I know I kind of think what people are going to say here, but no, people are going to say it. You can start off then, and we'll save Francesco for the last one.
Personally, as of right now, the only thing I think Napoli could be favorites for, and this is coming from a Napoli fan, I don't like talking about Scudetto this early on in the season. That's one of the last things I want to worry about. I just want to worry about the week, the match is coming up. But right now, I think for us, as of right now, yeah, you can say Napoli are one of the hottest teams in Serie A, us, Milan, Inter, maybe like out of current form, maybe even Juve too, they're coming up, getting some big wins. As of right now, I think if the season were that, Napoli would be champions. But I think, yeah, right now we're early favorites. But again, that can change in 2 weeks. This is a Serie A, every week, every match day, standings change. Team performances, they could go up, they could go down. So if we can stay consistent, get some points on big games, don't drop points to these little sides, I should say, and just play hard, play like we can, and play great football. I think Napoli could win the Scudetto. But again, it's a long season. I just want to focus on one match day at a time. And for me, every match day, I treat it as a Scudetto, one game closer to the Scudetto. And I hope the players can do that too. Just keep the mentality. Like, I know Francesco will like that line. Keep the mentality strong. Play like lions. You got to be always hungry. And play hard. And yeah, I think now, yeah, we could be favorites for Scudetto. But in a couple of weeks, who knows? Anything can change.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Dan. It's very early to pick Scudetto favorites. But if I had to right now, I'd probably still lean towards maybe Inter Juve, just because they've been battle tested. They're both experienced winning it.
And there's always that saying too: never count out the champs. The champs are always favored until you beat the champs. So, I think that's the saying that can stay. I think right now Inter could be favorites. Milan could be favorites. Heck, and who knows? Roma could be favorites in a couple of weeks.
Juve
could be favorites in a couple of weeks. Like, it's just everything changes, and it's just that's the beauty of sports. Everything can change in a week, and everything can every day it changes. Like with the way the players train, the philosophy that goes in.
Yeah, it's very difficult to pick between just, you know, one team between Juve and Inter. For me, it's between them. But, I feel like if you look at history, usually Juve and Inter don't really start the strongest, but then they usually pick up maybe a quarter way through the season to midway. And, like, Napoli, like, maybe it won't happen this year, but I'm saying, like, in the past couple of years, when it gets to November, around that time, they start dropping off. And that's where the other teams usually pick up. So we'll have to see. Still lots of time. If Napoli can avoid any big drop-off, then they really can do it. It's possible. But if I'm just looking, if I had to put my money on a team, I probably would say Juve, to be honest, if I had to put my money on a team. But it's between Juve and Inter. It's very close between them two right now for me if I had to pick one. But I wouldn't count Napoli out at all. They're starting off very strong. And that's possible.
Ross, we just need to play strong, especially when the stretches are tough. I know we have a couple of big games coming up between Inter, Lazio, and then Atalanta too. In a few weeks, and then in January, Osimhen, Anguissa, Koulibaly, and maybe potentially Unas could be missing due to the African Cup of Nations. So right there, those are four key guys in our team that we have to like play without. So it's gonna be tough.
Yeah, that's another reason. And even Spalletti for me, it's a classic Spalletti honeymoon phase where even at Roma he starts off very strong. We get confident, and then he breaks our hearts, and we have a huge meltdown midway through the year. That clown as a manager. People know I don't like Spalletti. All Roma fans don't. I'm sure Zenit fans don't like him either. Inter did his job, got them the Champions League. But, we'll see what happens. Still many games to go, and anyone could really win it right now between Juve and Napoli, in my opinion. Even Atalanta, you know, those guys turn into the Terminators when it hits January, so... Yeah, we'll see. But I'm interested to see what Francesco has to say here.
Yeah, I think I know what you're going to say.
I think I've said the same thing for the past 2 years now when this question gets brought up when Napoli are on that hot run of form. And it's the same answer I'm going to give. Napoli, they always have that one dip in November, in December. Sometimes it comes earlier, sometimes it comes later on in the year. But that dip is coming. It will come eventually. And when that dip comes, when they lose their first game, and then the second game, and then the third game, and then all the Napoli fans just bury themselves in their pillows and say, fuck this, not again, that day will come. So I'm happy Napoli are performing well now. They haven't faced a real top team yet other than Juve, and it was just Wojciech Szczęsny giving a welcoming present for them to be top of the table. But other than that, you know, they've proved themselves. They're getting wins that they need to be getting. But like I said, when they start facing the harder teams, like the Inter, like Roma, maybe Milan, then they'll start getting those results skimmed down a bit. And they'll start coming back down to reality and realizing that this team is nowhere near a Scudetto. They don't have the depth. They don't have the mentality. They don't have the coach for that. They don't have the owner for that. They don't have the funds for that. So,
same as we don't have the depth for that.
Yeah, I don't believe Napoli have the depth to win a Scudetto.
Okay, Fletcher, maybe I know. And you guys are laughing after this. I think it's better you don't come on the podcast.
There it is. I knew this topic would bring up some debates there.
Okay, I'll just let you be.
Like then, in January, when Osimhen's gone for the African Cup of Nations, who's your striker? Petagna? You think Petagna's going to lead you to Scudetto?
Mertens.
Yeah, Mertens, but...
Mertens. And you can always we can always bring in someone for cheap on a loan. We're not broke. We just didn't decide to buy...
You just don't spend.
Yeah, now we're going to spend. We're going to... With the guys we need, we're probably going to bring in a few guys. I wouldn't be surprised if we bring in a striker for 6 months And I wouldn't be surprised if we bring in an extra defense, like a center back or even a CDM, maybe more center back. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
If you guys do that, that would be smart. It would be the smart thing to do. But the current team, especially with like key players leaving for the African Cup of Nations, I think that's when, like, if you guys haven't gone through the dip by then, that'll be the final nail to the coffin.
And it won't be our fault because we're undermanned, like say. Or at least I trust our midfield because I believe our midfield, as of right now, I think it's a top three midfield in Italy. I can debate that all I want. I believe it.
Yeah.
The players we have, with the guys that we brought back, or with Demme coming back, with Laboka coming back soon, Mertens, he's on the bench. So I believe our squad depth is very strong. It's just defensively, without Koulibaly, because this guy is easily top three in the world right now. Probably for the last few years, he's been top three. It's just going to be hard to replace that. But if Napoli can bring in an extra guy for a few weeks, I think we could get the job done.
Yeah, listen, boys, this is the whole excitement about the city. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. That's the fun part. We get to watch, sit back, and relax and see how it plays out. So. that's why we are our podcast. There's so many questions, and the only way to answer them is by watching. So, yeah, it's the fun part about it. We're looking forward to still a lot of games to go. And, yeah, I guess we got Serie A match day 6 out of the way there. Champions League. I know Frances getting excited because his time is approaching.
The champions!
Oh, God.
What a day.
Yeah, sorry for your headphone users there, but... But yeah, Champions League, start off here, Shakhtar and Inter. I think we all know there's one way to really describe this match is chances being missed. And I think that sums up the whole match there. But one guy I really want to talk about, I think the game as a whole is self-explanatory for those of you who watched it. Just Inter had the chances to really put this one away and they couldn't do it. Skriniar, man, this guy is unreal. I honestly believe Milan Skriniar is a top 5 center back in Europe, in my opinion.
It was incredible.
He's on another level. In a steady, I feel like this guy scores a corner a game, number one. This guy's scoring a lot. I think he has more goals than half our forwards this season, to be honest, with Roma. And defensively, this guy's a wall, and he's fast. Like, he's that big and he's that fast. He's just incredible, Skriniar. He has like a little bit of, obviously, I don't know if Frances is going to say something here, but he has a little bit of that Chiellini inside of him, like that tenacity, a little bit, you can see it.
He's aggressive, yeah.
He has a little bit of that Chiellini side to him, but he's also very agile. Maybe not like Bonucci, but the passing is not too bad. It was the ball at his feet. He's well-rounded, he's a leader, he's a very good player, man. He's so good. I'm jealous that Inter has a player of that level on their team, and I will be shocked if he's still there. And maybe this summer, come the summer or the summer after, I'm sure teams will be bidding quite a bit of money for him, at least $100 million. He's incredible. So yeah, he played incredible. For me, he was the best player on the pitch. But other than that, I just feel like Inter really struggled. Dzeko had a chance to really put them ahead and win it for them with that volley right in front of the net. And, you know, Dzeko doing Dzeko things, he skied it. And I think I saw a bird drop, so the ball might have hit a bird in the head on the way up. So, yeah, that's the thing of Dzeko. He takes a lot of chances to score one goal. He needs about 7-6 shots maybe to get one goal. He's not very clinical, but if you give him his chances, he will put them away eventually. But, yeah, when it comes to having one or two chances a game, you're not really going to see Dzeko score or make a big difference in the game. And that's what we saw here. He had that big chance there to win it. And I'm saying win it. It wasn't like a 90th-minute chance or anything, but he could have won the game there. If he scored, that could have been a 1-0 finish. And he didn't. But yeah, Inter, they really shooting themselves in the foot here. That first Real Madrid game got away from them. They could have easily won or drew that. But yeah, they messed up there in Milano. And then here in Ukraine, they messed up again. And obviously, 1 point's not the end of the world. But at the same time, you know, the way the Real Madrid game ended,
it's not looking good.
It's not looking too good now with a draw and a loss. So. Yeah, they need to win the next match.
Especially with the teams in their group, too. If Sharif
playing. Yeah, those guys are on, I don't know, what
they're on. I don't know how.
I hope they're getting drug tested. Yeah, something's up there. But yeah, they batted Real Madrid. I'm sure everyone's seen that. Just chances missed.
Imagine if they beat Inter too. Like that would be something.
I wouldn't hold it past them. They're going into games not expecting to win. No one's expecting to win. So they're just putting all their eggs just in one basket. They're just saying, fuck it, let's just play. And they're outplaying them. Everyone underestimates them. That's
a sick story, too.
It would be, yeah.
I remember reading something. I know this is off topic, but if you put a $200 bet
You get like a million.
To win the Champions League, you can
like a million bucks.
Payouts, like a million, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't think I'm too. I don't think I'm that confident in them. But,
I wish I had 2 million just to throw out. Like 200 to throw out.
Look, if they end up winning, then this podcast is gonna haunt me forever, saying I'm not gonna put 200 in. So, but back to Inter, they just couldn't put it away, and they couldn't find that goal to really get them to win. Dan, thoughts on the match?
Yeah, no, and it's De Zerbi too. Like he comes back. I think De Zerbi a little bit more motivation, having the coach against Inter last season, against a fellow Italian side. Inter played well, but they couldn't score. Give Shakhtar a little credit. They battled hard all game. It was a very entertaining game from what I've seen. Obviously to win games, you have to finish your chances, and Inter couldn't do that. So it's going to be a tough road ahead because Sheriff, it seems like, I think it's Sheriff, right? Or is it Sheriff, one of the two?
I think it might be Sheriff.
Something like that. They proved that they're no pushover, gained 6 points in two games, which is incredible for a team of that caliber. So they're going to probably battle with their heart, maybe go and try to get a draw. They still have Real Madrid, who, even though they did lose, they still got some good players. And again, Shakhtar too, who's got some good players, and they just always seem to trouble these big teams. They always play hard in Champions League. So Inter, they gotta start picking up points in Champions League, or else they could end up in the Europa League, or maybe even finishing fourth again.
Yeah, well said, Dan. Rich, how about your fellow friends, Inter? What do you think about the performance?
Yeah, you know, it's disappointing because I want every Serie A team to do well in Champions League. I want to show the English media and the Spanish media that the Serie A is no joke of a league. And it doesn't make it easy when you have Inter in the Champions League. They're just a team that just don't perform in the Champions League. Last year they didn't. This year they're not. It's just in their DNA to not perform in the Champions League. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they just don't care about it and they just want to focus on Serie A again. But Champions League, there's two different teams. When they played against Atalanta and when they played against Shakhtar, it was just two different teams and it shouldn't be. I feel like when you're in the Champions League, you should have more ambition. You should have, there should be something more in your veins. You get the chills. It's on a bigger stage. And I feel like Inter, they just don't. They treat it like the Coppa Italia. They don't play with as much hunger and determination like they do in Serie A. It's just a shame to see. I personally think they're going to be in the Europa League again. If they finish fourth, then that's another disappointment. But I personally think they'll be good enough to at least finish in the Europa League spot this year. I don't see them coming in first. I don't see them coming in second. I hope they come in second, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, there you go. We all have more or less the same sentiment on that. It's disappointing for Inter and maybe not performance-wise, but result-wise, you know. You get it. Sometimes you just got to find a way to win, and they couldn't do that. So disappointing, but hopefully they can bounce back. Milan Atletico. Man, I feel like... Okay, well, I think this game is pretty easy to break down here. You guys could jump in here if you think I'm, you know, saying something you don't agree with. First 30 minutes, Milan completely dominated. It looked like they were going to thrash Atletico. And then that red card... just ruined the whole game. They had a 1-0 lead. Kessié gets sent off with, you know, pretty controversial call in my opinion. I'm seeing people say, oh, it's definitely a red. Oh, there's no way it's a red. It's here or there, but they got a red. Down 10 men the whole game. And then from that point forward, you know, obviously not dominating anymore Milan. It's more, you know, it's more up in the air as a result. But they still got that 1-0 lead. you know, the final 10 minutes, like, they can hold off here. They can get a win. First game back in Champions League in a long time. Yeah, at Milano. So that's a big deal. At the San Siro. And Griezmann, this guy's been horrendous for Atletico this whole year since going back. And this guy finally scores, and it has to be against Milan. They tied up, and then I'm thinking to myself, to be honest, a draw is not that bad, considering they had 10 men almost all game. So I'm like, yeah, well, a draw is not the worst result in the world for Milan. And then, of course, that penalty, that's nowhere near a penalty, I'm sure.
That was disgusting.
You guys agree with that?
Disgusting.
Yep.
A robbery. They hit off Lamar's arm first, and then they still called it a pen, handball on Milan. And Suarez put it away, which almost got saved by Magic Mike there. It almost hit his foot. I think Suarez tried to chip it, and he kind of mishit it, and didn't go as high as he wanted to, and almost hit Mike in the foot. So that could have been different. But, yeah, Atletico stole this game, in my opinion. And I don't want to hate on the team because, you know, they aren't the ref. They don't make the call. But the ref needs to take some criticism. And I don't like how the ref doesn't have post-game interviews like the coaches and players do.
I was just about to say that. Yeah. Like, I wanted, like, and I know, like, the NBA, they have the, what is it, the official PR team or something like that.
Yeah, and then the two-minute report, too, that comes out.
I feel like in soccer, like, in football, they need that, too. Even, like, in the NFL, too, I feel like they should, like, interview the referee, like, oh, what did you see on this call? Or even upload like a YouTube clip, which I think the Copa America did for a few games, I believe throughout the whole tournament, actually, where they upload every VAR clip that was called in the tournament, and you hear the officials like talking, saying, no, he was offside. Oh, you see his foot? Look, he's there. Like, so I feel like that's what the UEFA needs to implement, because it will avoid a lot of like bullshit. And also, too, like, you can understand where the refs, like, potentially could be coming from. So I feel like that's one thing, like, they need to have, like, a post-game interview. They got to leak or even just upload clips of the audio that comes out between the referees and the VAR, or just a PR team, like, that tweets out saying, we saw this on the penalty shot, and we called it because it hit the guy's arm, something like that.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
These refs and officials need to be, you know, they need to take accountability. They need to be able to have a platform to talk about their call and be criticized just like players and coaches are. So, yeah, I don't like how they just hide behind UEFA and just disappear and then not get, you know, any consequences for making a wrong decision in a big moment like that. But, yeah, getting away from the poor officiating, I thought Brahim Diaz played an amazing game once again. He's been incredible all season. He's really been just the star of Milan this season. He's been really making the next jump. And, you know, last year we saw some good games from him, but he was never consistent. You know, it was here or there. But now this guy's really becoming the next guy for Milan ever since the departure of Calhanoglu. He looks more free and just feels like he can lead the attack. And, well, he's technically a midfielder, but he really is an attacker. And, it's been great to watch Brahim Diaz this season. It's very enjoyable to watch, and he's been one of my favorite players to really watch this year. So, yeah, big ups to him. I'm sure you guys have the same opinions as me on this game, but, yeah, Dan, throw off a few. What do you think?
Yeah, no, you nailed it, Ryan. Like, you nailed it spot on. It was not a penalty. Like, I wouldn't call it. I saw Lamar hit it with his arm, and then it was unlucky on, I believe it was Kalou. So it's not a penalty. I can watch it 100 times and I'll have the same opinion. It's never a penalty. Milan, they played well first half until the red card. It was Leao that got the goal. It was a beautiful goal. He scored too.
He almost got a bicycle kick too.
Yeah, like when he's on Leao, he's a game changer. It's just he needs to be more consistent. He's a very good player. He just needs to have the consistency. But Flag will battle back. He scored two late goals. It was just blatant. Not at all. I don't even think that was a red card. Like, personally, I don't think it was a red card. And the penalty wasn't 100%. Not changing my mind on this. Not a penalty. Even if I was an Flag fan, maybe I might have a different opinion. But as a neutral, I'm not even being biased. I'm just calling it how it is. It's never a penalty, and I believe Milan were robbed of a point, and they deserved that point because I personally think they played well and they battled hard. Even with 10 men, they did their best to try to keep that 1-0 lead. But just the bodies and the freshness of Atletico Madrid, just out, and the help of the referees, you could say, just helped Atletico get the win.
Yeah, definitely. Richard, what do you think about the whole scandalous victory Atletico had?
Yeah, first of all, I want to start off with this. When Inter lose or draw, I don't feel bad because they do it to themselves. With Milan, I genuinely feel bad for them. They were leading against Liverpool, the Scousers, and they let that slip away from them, which was unfortunate. And now against Atletico, similar circumstances where they're winning, they were dominating. Then they got that red card, unfortunately, but they were still winning and putting up their own fight and defending and playing very well. And then that wonder strike by Griezmann, you know, he is what he is. And then, that call from stupid call was never a penalty. And I just want to say the name quickly. Kounya Kakir. And I know you guys are confused, but that just sent shivers down to all Juventini around the world. And fun facts with Franche over here. That same ref was the idiot who reffed the Champions League final in 2015 when Juve got robbed of a penalty that wasn't called. And then Barca scored off the counterattack after. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if he hates all Italians. I don't know what this guy's vendetta is against Serie A. But every time this guy's reffing a Serie A team, controversy happens. And it happened again in Milan, and I feel horrible for them. And it's not looking too bright over there in Milano. In fourth place for them with 0 points. Hopefully the next games could turn it around for them and maybe they could salvage some survival here and finish second in the group. But it's not looking too good for them, and it's a real shame because they're actually playing their hearts out. They're outperforming their opponents and they're just either letting it slip away or getting unlucky.
Yeah, and, you know, really thinking about it now, both Milano's sides really performed well in both Champions League games. You had that performance from Milan against Liverpool where...
I wouldn't say Inter.
They didn't play... Really? I don't know. I disagree. I thought Inter had been playing pretty good in the Champions League. Just finishing obviously wasn't there, but I do think they deserve more points than they have. And same with Milan, really, that Liverpool game. I thought Milan...
Milan definitely should have way more points than they have.
Yeah, that second half, they honestly weren't the best against Liverpool, but I still think they could have gotten a draw, but I think Liverpool did deserve that win. But they weren't really, you know, Liverpool's a tough team, and they weren't outclassed by any means. They were always in the game.
At Anfield.
Yeah, at Anfield. So, yeah, Milan did themselves proud there. And then, once again, against Atletico, you know, if that red card never happened, the second yellow, you know, we could be talking about a completely different game here and that penalty at the end, of course. So, yeah, you know, it's very unfortunate with Champions League. There's only six games, really, so... These, you know, these calls from the refs are costly, man. Like this game, we can be talking here in a month or two. I think 2 months when the group stage is done.
We can say, January.
Yeah. So whenever this whole group stage is done, we could be like, wow, if Milan tied that Atletico game or if Milan won that Atletico game, they would have made the round of 16. But they didn't. So we can say this could be very costly in a couple months' time, but we'll see what happens. But, yeah, moving on to Atalanta, at least some positives now. Today that happened. Well, today for us. Atalanta, young boys, honestly, I didn't get a chance to watch this one. I was in the middle of getting my second vaccine, so I couldn't watch this game. But I saw some highlights back. I'm happy Pessina scored. I believe he's the first Italian to score for Atalanta in Atalanta's history, so that's great to see. And Pessina, even though he's a midfielder, this guy's really good at timing runs into the box, and yeah, he's just, I don't know, he's a very good player. Well, I can't want to say very good, but he's a good player, and for the Azzurri, we saw he's very effective when he's making runs into the box, kind of similar to Vettitù for Roma. He was very good at positioning himself and going forward. I was really happy to see him score, and it's kind of shocking. I think Atalanta have 31 or 33 goals or something in the Champions League in their history, and only once from an Italian, so it's kind of surprising.
That was a weird stat. Like it was like, oh my god, really? Like
Yeah, but then looking back at it, there was Papu Gomez, there's Zapata, there's Murillo, and you're like, oh, maybe, yeah, it kind of makes sense. But when I first heard it, I was like, wow, really? But yeah, I'm not sure if you guys were able to catch the game, but what did you think about it? How did they do?
You know what? I couldn't watch the game. I was at work. So I was just on and off looking at notifications. And yeah, no, it was good that that's not the one. It's always tough to go to, like, in Champions League against these teams, like Young Boys and stuff. They always play hard. They bet Man United, so they must not be too bad, Young Boys. So it was nice to see that Pessina scored. I like Pessina. I think he's just a good player. Seems like he scores big goals for his club and also for country. So it was nice to see him get on the score sheet. So congratulations to Pessina for being the first Italian goal scorer in Atalanta history in Champions League. So, yeah, no, it's good. Atalanta to get the 3 points, especially in the group of that's with Villarreal and also Man United, who are two tough teams. So, yeah, it's just good for Atalanta, and hopefully they can continue, because I feel like they're the type of team that if they get to the knockout stages, you have to like look out for them, because they could catch fire and potentially cause a few upsets.
Yeah, Atalanta's always a team you got to watch out for, especially for these you know, the Champions League teams. These big teams usually fall asleep sometimes, or they underestimate these teams like Atalanta, and then
they almost bet PSG that one year.
Yeah, they almost did.
They're like, what, 5 minutes away, 4 minutes away, and then PSG scored.
Yeah, Atalanta's a very tough team, so you can't get them, like, you can't count them out. But for Chad, before we move on to the game you've been waiting for, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, you know, this was like my warm-up game in preparation to the big day. I think it was a very entertaining game. One thing people underestimate, I would compare this Young Boys side to Atalanta a couple of years ago. Just a team like no one really knows about unless you watch the Switzerland league. And they just like have no fear in them. They just attack their opponent and play very well. They're a very well organized team, and that's why they beat United. So with Atalanta, I was a little bit nervous with them. The first half, they played pretty well, but they just couldn't finish their chances. And when Pessina finally scored, it felt like forever for Atalanta to score. They kind of really opened up, and that's when the chances started flying. So it was great to see, you know, Pessina especially. I feel like that Euros gave him some confidence in him after winning such a big tournament, being such a great part in that Euro journey. I feel like it gives him confidence on the bigger stages, like in Champions League and Serie A now. So I feel like he's really getting to his element in the game. And it's just a great staff for him to have with Atalanta. And finally, you could have Atalanta win. And just like I said, if Atalanta are out of the Champions League, they're more dangerous than Serie A. So keep them in the Champions League as long as possible. Do Serie A proud in Europe. And then when it's time to bow out, then they'll become the Terminators in Serie A. But for now, I want to see them still strive, as it doesn't look good for the Milano clubs to qualify anytime soon.
Yeah, and now that we got that Atalanta game over with, there's one game I think we've all been really looking forward to hearing from Chev for this one. Dan, if you have a pillow nearby or anything, you know, you can take a little rest here for the next 5 hours.
Fredger, I'll be the kind person. I will not make a comment on this game because I'm actually very disappointed in Chelsea because I wanted them to win. So I'll let you have the floor, and yeah.
Yeah, for Chad, take it away. Do your thing.
You know, I've been saying it since the beginning of the year. I wanted an English team. I think a lot of you guys know how much I hate the English. I hate English clubs. I hate English players. I hate the English national team. I hate a lot of things about the English. I hate their pundits. I hate their commentators. I hate their coaches. I hate a lot of things. So the fact that we got Chelsea, the defending champs, when we got that group, everyone's, this is when Ronaldo was still at Juve, by the way, guys. Everyone was single. Chelsea's going to mop the floor with Juve. They're defending European champs for a reason. Juve are a bunch of old men. And then Ronaldo left, and it was like all hell broke loose. Now we're even in a bigger conundrum of what Chelsea's going to do to Juventus. And then Dybala and Morata were injured. Now it's impossible for Juventus to beat Chelsea. And I've always said it, when Juve face an English team, when Italy faces the English team, I will always be 100% confident. I don't care if it's the Italy under 19 team facing the senior squad for the English team. I will always back the Italians. Just in their DNA, the English cannot beat the Italians. I don't know what it is. It's just their DNA. They cannot beat the Italians. So, you know, I was very confident going into the game. When I saw the lineup, I was a little concerned. At first, I saw 4-4-2 with Bernardeschi and Chiesa up top and Rabiot playing left mid and no Chiellini. I personally would have started Chiellini. I think this is the game you start Chiellini in the biggest games. Chiellini and Bonucci, the best partnership you could possibly get, especially against Lukaku. He can score against Chiellini and Bonucci, his kryptonite. But then when the game actually started, it was that Bernardeschi was a false nine and Chiesa and Cuadrado were on the wings, which I personally loved. I feel like this is the smartest thing Allegri's done since that 4-2-3-1 in 2017, and I really hope we continue it. I think this is the formation we've got to go moving forward. When Dybala comes back healthy, I think Dybala is a false nine with Chiesa and Cuadrado on the wings. I think that'll be a deadly trio, and hopefully little Massimiliano has that brain capacity to see that and use that in the Champions League. But moving on to the game, we were playing... I feel like it was a lot of back and forth action. Chelsea weren't getting chances. We weren't getting chances. It was just a midfield battle, and it was just a mess. The dirty skulls from London kept fouling us, and the ref kept giving him 500 warnings. I feel like there could have been more cards for Chelsea, for the amount of fouls they were doing, and it was very annoying and tedious. But then we kind of had really good counter chances. Rabiot, you know, he fucked up. I think he played great defensively, but offensively he could have done much better. He had that chance to give to Bernardeschi, but his pass was dreadful. Then you had Chiesa, who had that beautiful chance where all he had to do was pass it to Bernardeschi, but he got a little too selfish. His ego got a little too big and inflated there, and he decided to go for the shot. And I was very pissed off in that moment. But then right at the second half, you know, we caught Chelsea sleeping, and Chiesa scored a beautiful goal, and Eduardo Mendy, you know, he was obviously very pissed off at his defense, and I feel like that was amazing. I feel like we could have got more. We could have won the game easily 4-0, but I will still take a 1-0 victory, and it's good to see the silence of the Chelsea fans. And, you know, I got to go on Twitter after the game, just have a nice chuckle of what the Chelsea fans and the pundits were saying. I went on my Android box and I actually turned on Sky Sports just to see what the English pundits would say after the game. And it just brought, like, tears of happiness to my face just seeing them just such in distress of this Juventus team beating Chelsea. And, you know, they're laughing at Chiesa and saying how Chiesa's bad, how Cuadrado's bad. It just, you know, brings laughter to my voice. And, you know, they keep saying, oh, London's still blue. But on November 23rd, when we visit Stamford Bridge, London's going to be black and white. And they'll get the Tottenham treatment. You know, when Dybala scored that last-minute goal and the Tottenham fans were booing us and cheering and all happy, and then Dybala scored and it shut them up. So we'll be sure to give the Londoners that same treatment. And I'm honestly looking forward to that game so much at Stamford Bridge. I'm counting down the days and I can't wait to finally put them in their place. You know, everyone says Tuchel's such a great coach. And one thing a lot of people are going to be shocked at is I give Allegri full credit for this game. I feel like he got everything spot on. Taking off Chiesa was a little bit risky, but it turned to work out to the end. And hopefully, you know, his brain capacity continues to work and we keep using this 4-3-3 false nine, because I was enjoying every second of the game. And if it wasn't for the dirty London years keep fouling us every 2 seconds, I feel like the game could have went through a lot smoother.
Well, yeah, there's Frichet's opinion. Yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Anything left for Frichet?
Definitely longer.
Yeah, he didn't hold back at all. I don't think he hit his hatred for the English. I think it took a little too far there, Frichet, but... Yeah, I'll let you do you. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Frichet's return, very passionate from that Juve game. I don't think me and Dan really have anything else to add to that for Czech. Covered, I think, every minute of the game. So, yeah.
Literally. I think he did.
to sum it up, we saw the turn of Allegri ball. That solid defense. Looked amazing. Bonucci was incredible. Chiesa, fantastic goal. And
people are starting to come out of the shells of liking Bonucci again. And it's great to see all the bandwagon Bonucci fans come back. Come back to the king. And actually, one more thing. I hope when Allegri was watching the game, he could see what a captain looks like and see how a captain captained his team to victory. And when Dybala comes back, I love him, but he's not a captain. Dybala is not a captain. When he comes back, I think he needs to make some sacrifices and give Bonucci that captaincy or bend when Chiellini's not on the field. I feel like it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. There we go. We'll end it off on there. Some big Champions League games. We got some Europa League action. We got some Conference League action coming up tomorrow. I guess today when you guys are listening to this. So if you guys enjoy that, Serie A back on the weekend. And then we go to international break, a much needed break. There's been a lot of games midweek, European, Serie A. There's been a lot of stuff going on. So
it's going to be crazy, don't you guys think?
Yeah, it's very crazy.
I got one question for you. Just answer it quick because I know you'll probably talk about an hour about this question. Do you think Juve won because Allegri wore a suit?
Well, it helps with the professionalism, obviously. I feel like when you show up to a game professional, guys, a lot of you guys don't know this. I went to the TFC versus Inter Miami game and I showed up in a suit. I was the nicest dressed person on the whole field. I was dressed nicer than Philip Neville. I was dressed nicer than the TFC coach, whoever that guy is. I was the nicest dressed person in that suit. And, you know, I got in early because people thought I was something more than just a fan. So when you show up dressed professionally and ready for the occasion, you're ready for everything. And the fact that Allegri's in a suit, I don't care if it's minus 35 degrees. I don't care if it's plus 35 degrees. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices as a team, and that's showing up professionally and determining the brand well. But quickly, like I was saying, I feel like it's going to be crazy, you know, like we were talking about how soccer is such a beautiful sport. And it's crazy to see that, like, you know, in 2015, Barcelona were like on top of the world, you know, winning Champions League controversially. And now, like, what is it, 6-7 years later, they're about to be in the Europa League for how badly they're doing. So it's crazy to see it. And hopefully Allegri, you know, we prioritize the Champions League. This is the first time I've ever heard him say the words that we're prioritizing the Champions League. So hopefully he takes his word and we can finally win the trophy with the big ears under him.
Yep, so this is the point where I cut off for Chaff the remainder of the podcast. You're going to hear more from him next week because this guy, I can bring up a coin that's beside me right now and he'll go on about it. So, yeah, big win for Juve against European champions. Won't be the first time Italians have bested the English in the European competition in a big game. And, we'll be back next week to recap match day 7 of the Serie A and preview the Azzurri, which is going to be very exciting. So
against Spain.
Against Spain, big game. We're looking forward to it. And I just want to add quickly, in June of 2022, the Azzurri will be taking on Argentina. The winners of the Copa America and the Euros will be playing each other in a big final. So,
a lot of trophies coming for the Azzurri. The Euros, the Nations League, that trophy, it's going to be great.
Yeah, for Chad even started crying here about it. So He's very emotional. So yeah, we're gonna end it here. If you wanna contact us and hear more from Richet in the DMs, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @SixSideCalcio, spelled exactly the same way as you see it here. And we'll be back next week. Ciao.
Glad to be back, boys. Ciao.
Ciao.